Today we affirm what we believe from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in Corinth, Greece, what we refer to as 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, verses 20 through 21. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. God's word for today is from that same letter that we call 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, just verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I have always struggled with sermons for Memorial Day Sunday. It is possible that I struggle because I have felt the need to say something new and fresh for over 30 years. I struggle even though all of us have a sense that our collective memories do hold something sacred, because we know that our God is the giver of life. And in our sinfulness, we confess that we have been driven to war. In the sins of our own nation, the United States, we were driven to a civil war. The American Civil War was the birthplace of our national Memorial Day. Even if we have never studied history or didn't even like history, we cannot help but know that the people who lived here 150 years ago, some of our own ancestors, left home to fight in that same Civil War. Some did not return. Some returned maimed and broken. Alcoholism is where many veterans of that war ended up. We now more correctly diagnose their condition as PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's only in the 21st century that historians have more correctly calculated the loss of human life during the American Civil War. Excuse me. The old statistics of human loss that were stated and restated were about 600,000. Now we more correctly believe that 750,000 men and a few women in arms were killed during the American Civil War. Even other statisticians claim that this figure has won wide acceptance. The Civil War claimed more lives than all other American wars combined. And if you compare the population numbers of today with back then, a similar loss today would mean 7.5 million deaths. This horrific toll doesn't include the more than 500,000 soldiers who were wounded and often permanently disabled by amputation, lingering disease, psychological trauma, and other afflictions. The Civil War and its trauma also gave us what we now know as national cemeteries. 5 different communities claim that they were the first to initiate a Memorial Day for the Civil War dead. To me, that only means how widespread the desire was to remember and keep in memory those who had died in that conflict. It would not be until 1971 that Memorial Day became an official national holiday, long after the nation had embraced the idea that the memorialization would remember all of America's war dead. I was never a soldier, but fate has given me to be surrounded by soldiers in my family. As a child, I was fascinated by the American Civil War, and I put that fascination to work as an adult. I support battlefield preservation. I continue to visit the national parks and continue to do research on our own township's Civil War veterans so that no one's name in that conflict is forgotten. I now know that many from this community whose service was forgotten when they died. I have made available a list of those names and any details I have about them, and the list appears to continue to grow. So these are the reasons we remember every Memorial Day: the lives, their lives, our sinfulness, and the soldiers' service and their deaths. Remembering those who gave all, during which we cannot fail to remember that all gave some. We believe that they died for a righteous cause. I say that because our own founding fathers and their founding documents say this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. We believe that soldiers died in the full measure of devotion to keep and maintain those rights for all Americans. But let's look back to that time before the American Civil War. Let's look at First Baptist Church of Williamsburg, Virginia. The First Baptist Church of Williamsburg, Virginia began in 1776. And the First Baptist Church of Williamsburg, Virginia began in secret. Free Africans and enslaved Africans in the British American colony of Virginia gathered together. Their gathering was illegal in Virginia in 1776. They were gathered at a place between the communities of Williamsburg and Jamestown, and there in a brush arbor they shared in song and prayer. We don't know all of their names. We don't know the full extent of their circumstances. Free and enslaved African Americans gathered at Green Spring Plantation to share in song and prayer. Now, it was true that some of the enslaved Africans could and did attend worship at the slave owners' churches. In some cases, the slave children took church membership classes with their slave owners' children. Some slave infants were baptized in those same slave owners' churches. However, despite the apparent religious freedom, those Africans remained enslaved. In 1776, when free and slave Africans met, they desired to have a congregation organized by African Americans and for African Americans. And why do I mention the African American experience? Because in that one gathering, we see what the American Revolution was fighting for: freedom. Freedom in its many interpretations. Freedom from bondage. Freedom of speech. Freedom to gather. Freedom to worship. And freedom of self-determination. What we could call the pursuit of happiness. This group continued to meet. Freedom from the British king was secured in 1781 nearby at the Battle of Yorktown, where this pastor's ancestor fought. I don't know much about that ancestor, but I do know that his family came to America in part for religious freedom. He and his family were persecuted for their religious views in the nation he came from and fled to America. The Africans, who after the American Revolution could then be called African Americans, continued to meet and worship, eventually moving the congregation into the town of Williamsburg and meeting in a carriage house that was donated for their purpose in 1800. Despite increased restrictions on slaves and slave life in the 1800s, by the time the American Civil War was over, these faithful African Americans became the First Baptist Church of Williamsburg, Virginia. You might be surprised to learn that there would be white members of that African American congregation, and why would that happen? Because early in American history, there weren't as many choices for worship as there are now. The First Baptist Church of Williamsburg was probably for years the only Baptist church in Williamsburg, Virginia. If you didn't want to be Episcopalian, or if you didn't want to be an offshoot of the Episcopalians and be a Methodist, and you wanted to be a Baptist, your only option was probably the First Baptist Church of Williamsburg. So Sunday mornings, you joined African Americans for what was known as free church, because there was no service book, and you could hold worship even if your clergyman was not present. The First Baptist Church of Williamsburg enjoyed the free church tradition of worship, but not all of the members of that church were free. Not until after the American Civil War. And that brings us to Memorial Day and the men of this township who fought for freedom, yours and mine and theirs. Only after the American Civil War, with its over 500,000 casualties and decimated countryside, would all the members of First Baptist Church be free. After the Civil War, the church members were no longer white and black, slave and free. After the Civil War, they were all free. They would be free to stay, free to gather. They would even be free to leave and join any number of other churches that sprang up after freedom was won. They would be free to learn to read if they hadn't already taught themselves to read under danger of punishment or death. Then they could read their Bibles themselves for the first time. Do you not see what a wonderful thing that freedom is? And do you see why in a church we should be certain to remember, and we should be certain to give thanks to those who gave, as Abraham Lincoln said as president in his Gettysburg address, they gave, those soldiers gave the full measure of devotion so that this nation would be free from coast to coast, all of it. Let me tell you another marvel of my research. And I can't tell you exactly how many families this accounts for and how many young men this accounts for who left this township to wear Union blue uniforms that came from families who had recently moved away from North Carolina and Virginia, both slave states. And they came to make a new life in Indiana where slavery was illegal. And I can't say this is certain, but as large as some of these families were, I imagine they had cousins on the other side wearing Confederate gray. It should also be mentioned that Indiana did also raise one African American regiment, the 87th. And they too fought and died for freedoms that were still only a promise and not yet reality. The American Civil War was a terrible war. Those who fought in that war should never be forgotten, and their memory has prompted us to remember on Memorial Day the casualties of all American wars. We thank God for this nation, and the funny thing is, we thank God for this nation because this nation gives us the freedom to thank God for this nation. Anytime, anywhere, in almost any way we choose to do so. It's a freedom that remains rare in our world in the 21st century, but the promise lives on in the United States of America. Now, you know that I am not in the habit of quoting Oprah Winfrey, even though she is one of the most powerful women in the United States and owns her own media empire. However, she said some things at a recent college graduation as part of her address to the graduates that ties in exactly with what I'm trying to tie together here. Oprah Winfrey spoke at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism on May 11th. In that address, she said in part, "Vote. Vote. Vote. If you don't like something, go to the polls. People died for that right for you to vote. People died so that you would have the right to vote. I think about it every time I cast a vote, so don't let their sacrifice be in vain." I'm not sure there's a better way to say that. If we will remember on Memorial Day and Veterans Day, remember just a fraction of the cost that some Americans paid for our rights, maybe we could be more responsible in exercising those rights. Assemble together, speak, publish, and vote, and yes, worship. You have the freedom to do it. Praise God. And thank you, all of you. We do remember today that they gave that we might receive and retain our rights, and therefore we do have the responsibilities that were won for us. Amen.